In the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I shall read the Word of God from the book, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 to verse 20. And the words are, in Jesus' name, as follows. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. The portion of God's word which I read is called the Church Law of Christ. Even though this name sounds fancy or festive, it is meant for special occasions and for daily life, for all of us, for you, brothers and girls, boys and girls, for you, dear young ones, adults, and older ones, too. The key central message of the Church Law of Christ is love, and it instructs us to maintain common love. A lot of the Word of God has been read here at these summer services and explained. This has been written for us to teach us, to advise us, to exhort us, and to educate us. After I read this portion of God's Word, the thing that came to my mind was this question. Is this part of God's Word one of the most difficult teachings in the Bible for us children of God? Because the enemy of soul and our own flesh, which has not repented, tells us the exact opposite to what has been written, to the written Word of God. The Church Law of Christ instructs us to take care of our conscience between when there has been a breach or a transgression by one child of God against another, and he becomes aware of it. The love of Christ is great toward a sinner. He does not wish to leave anyone who has not had the strength to be obedient. He does not wish to leave them alone. Anyone who has been disobedient to the voice of his conscience. Since we have come to these summer services and we have come to hear the Word of God, and we have also come to meet friends, acquaintances, relatives. And whenever we interact with others, there may become some situations where we mishear, we misunderstand, we misassume. There might even be misunderstandings. And another thing that can happen is that our life is going good, and there are a lot of things to be happy about. Isn't it so that it's hard to keep our happiness hidden? And it can be that we could run into another child of God, one who has been experiencing difficulties, who is in a difficult circumstance. Someone who doesn't really want to hear playful talk, nor does he want to be happy about your happiness. And that enemy of the children of God, that enemy of the souls, he becomes angry when there is love between children of God, one way or another. The enemy of soul wishes to be, wants to destroy the relationships between children of God. Last Wednesday, when we were driving to summer services, we listened to the summer service radio station, and the topic there was social media. A place where a substantial portion of our interaction has gone. In that interaction, we know that it doesn't involve our countenance or our expression and our tone of voice, etc. It is possible that we also misread between the lines. And it is possible that misunderstandings arise. Even as children of God, we may have an attitude that whenever we see someone who has misbehaved against us, or acted inappropriately, or misspoke against us, we may take the attitude that it's his job to come and take care of matters. I've got plenty of time to wait. But that portion of God's word, which we just read, demonstrates to us that whenever we see that a brother or sister is not coming to take care of his offense or breach or transgression, it's our job to go approach them and to discuss with them. How beautifully it is said in the kingdom of God when it says, it is the one who should run is the one who has healthy legs. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. This last word in this sentence is very significant. It says, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. This portion of God's word teaches us that we should go engage in a bilateral negotiation. But the enemy of soul tempts us to speak to other people and as a result, this matter might become known by others, and in the form of a text, it might change its form. And it's possible that it will gain wings. And when we think of this from our point of view, dear brothers and sisters, isn't it so that every single one of us wants it to be so that whenever I have trespassed against someone and not noticed it, it should surely be our wish that that person would come speak to us directly and not behind our backs. Luther has instructed that we should defend our neighbors. We should speak highly of them or only good things about them. And we should interpret things in the best way. The only purpose of this discussion of between two peoples is to correct faults and to reinstate peace and love between two friends. And when love has returned, how easy it is to meet. How easy it is to breathe. Peace and freedom live in the heart. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Whenever two poor children of God speak about the way and the journey, and whenever they want to take care of matters, in that situation, two children of God who are weak on their own parts, whenever they bless one another, great things happen. Sins are buried in the sea of grace. That discussion is not a situation in which one is free of sin and one is full of sin. Isn't it so that in that situation, there are two poor children of God together. In that portion of the Word of God which we read contains the word, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But discussions and conversations don't always lead to a repentance. God is patient, and He treats us with long suffering and with lots of advice and instruction in His congregation, in His church. But if He will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Even at this point, the advice of the Word of God does not tell us to speak to everyone. Instead, what it instructs us is to talk about it in a way that a small number of people would be aware of it. But it's possible to invite brothers or sisters who have the gift of God of advice and of instructing with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. The Word of God instructs us that when we are able to be in the midst of the congregation or church with many gifts, engage in a conversation and ask the Heavenly Father what the Spirit tells the congregation. But in our portion of God's Word which we read, then there are some very serious words. If he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. A brother or sister who has transgressed or trespassed against his brother or sister becomes bound, and he or she is no longer in the unity of the children of God. Just as we pointed out in the beginning, this measure, this action, this form of caretaking is a caretaking of the love of the God, of love God. No individual person has the right to bind. It is by the Church of God or the Congregation of God. More specifically, we should point out that it refers to the home Zion, in that place where we are known. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This issue, this caretaking, must be considered through faith. First of all, it is regulated by God. Secondly, the ultimate goal of love is to have a person who is bound in his sins find himself and would receive the grace of repentance. Thirdly, It protects the kingdom of God. It protects the children of God from the powers of the enemy of soul, which come from inside. But, dear children of God, isn't it so that a person who is bound in his sin, he or she longs for the friendship of children of God and the love of the children of God and his friends. He is still our neighbor. However, through his or her disobedience, he or she has closed him or herself away from the unity of children of God. The only goal of the Church Law of Christ is to take care of transgressions and they are forgiven from the very bottom of the heart to someone who asks. Furthermore, the Church Law of Christ instructs us clearly that we should be slow in binding and quick to release or loosed. Our flesh is harsh. Is harsh against a person who has fallen into trespassing or transgression. It would be wonderful, or the mind of the flesh would be quick to bind. But God's timetable is so often much longer than our urgent, busy people's. There might even be difficult things that are tied up in knots and tied up in several knots. This requires conversation, discussion, time, and patience. And we have the right to ask God to give us the heart of love of Christ, of patience, and of long-suffering. When we look at the length of forgiveness, each of us surely find ourselves like Peter. Peter understood that someone who has transgressed should be forgiven. We remember him. He was even courageous. And he was one of the first to answer. We remember how he asked Jesus, "How often shall I forgive a brother who has trespassed against me?" Even here, Peter was in such of a hurry that he answers his own question. And he answers and says, "Is 7 enough?" And we also remember when Jesus answers, not just seven times, but rather 70 times seven. Some of you guys are good at math, mathematics, and you have already calculated that 70 times 70 is 440 times, or 490 times. But that was Jesus' point in his answer, was no precise mathematical number. Instead, he was describing the scale of forgiveness. And this is something we can all be happy about. It is not 490 times, because for every single one of us, this 490 times has already gone past a long time ago. We remember what the Word of God teaches. In the Word of God teaches that as often as a brother transgresses and becomes penitent, we need to forgive. We children of God are also called sheep. Sheep have weak legs. Sheep are not intended to bear a burden or carry a load. Neither are we. We children of God have not been established as beasts of burden. Sin, which is abandoning God or leaving God, which is disobedience to God and to the Word of God. Isn't it so that it pays to remove the obstacles of faith? At one of my jobs, I had to drive a lot of vehicles on these long commutes or drives. I listened to old sermons. One part of a sermon that I remember is one in which it says, after the question had been posed, that does God see every single place? God, who has created everything, the visible and the invisible, with his word from nothing. God, which is the highest authority. Could it be that God can't see everywhere? There are boys and girls here. Maybe these kinds of questions are easier for you than for us adults. A little boy had raised his hand and said, God does not see forgiven sins. Psalm 32 also explains this to us in its very first verse. Blessed is he whose evil deeds have been forgiven, whose sins have been removed. Dear children of God, we too can pray. pray that the Heavenly Father would be able to press down our proud hearts, that the Heavenly Father would give us a humble mind, that the Heavenly Father would give us a knowledge of sin and the strength to repent. When people come and instruct us and to teach us after we have transgressed against someone else. We children of God feel our sinfulness. We struggle because our faith is so weak. We feel how we have two parts. The 13th chapter of Matthew describes how the children of God is like a net, one which has been thrown into the sea, and all kinds of fish had been collected in it, and when it was full, it was pulled to the shore, and the fishermen sat down, and they separated the good ones, but the foul ones they threw away. Dear child of God, have you ever experienced or had the idea or thought that I have had, which is, am I the most spoiled fish which will one day be cast away? I want to encourage you, dear listener, if this is something that you are struggling with, your matters are good because your heart contains a sorrow that is pleasing to God. Regarding yourself and your own endeavoring. When at the very beginning I pointed out that this portion of the Word of God is directed at every single one of us, and since there are boys and girls here in this service tent, this is intended or directed at you too. Wherever you are at home and in your daily life, you may ask your Father, Why have you behaved like that to us? You made us sad. You children, you too can be providing guidance and instruction to us parents, mother and father, on the way to heaven. Since those of us here at summer services, since we have been here at summer services, in Tornio wish to remind those of you who have been unable to come here for many reasons. Those of you who are at home in the midst of daily temptations, those of you who are on your sick beds, you might be thinking, has God forgotten me here? those of you listening on the internet, near or far, on the other side of the planet. Every single one of you who wishes or who longs to be here in the meeting of the children of God here at summer services. There will one day be summer services where we all can be together in one place. And those summer services will never enter and never end. Those summer services will not be bothered by the enemy of soul. There will be no sin. There will be no transgressions against one child of God, another child of God. There will be only peace, solid, calm, and everything will be perfect. We too wish to approach you. Those of you who have come to this service site just to see what the life of a child of God is like, or those of you who are listening to the radio, those of you who are almost secretly listening to these sermons, and those of you who are wishing you had that peace that the child of God has, the one which is given by that precious gospel. Your soul is precious to God too. You too are loved so much in heaven. That we want to forgive all of your sins. And even from this public sermon, you can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Today, in conclusion, we children of God can be happy that this portion of God's Word, which was read, this word of instruction and guidance is contained in the Holy Bible. It brings us peace. It brings us security. What it means is that we too will be cared for. But we will not be cared for in accordance with the mind of man. We shall be cared for in accordance with the mind or heart of Christ, with love. In this wonderful, we can be in this wonderful kingdom of God, where we are cleaned, where we are dressed, where we are washed. We are in good hands. So many times we can rest our weary head in the arms of our Savior, even though we are weak. We can still be encircled by love. Dear hearers of the word, I still want to encourage you, remain believing, all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In particular, I would like to speak to you, young ones. Those of you who are experiencing or feeling like my heart wants the gospel of priests, but I do not have the courage to raise my arm. Be of good cheer. Remain believing wherever you are. All of your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name, amen.